SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number two of the Early Line, live right here on this Thursday. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. In this second hour, a lot to break down. The NFL league year officially underway as of 4 p.m. Eastern time yesterday. We have already seen a flurry of moves during the free agency frenzy, blockbuster deals, trades that have happened, and contract extensions. Now it's time to make sense of it all in our favorite game, NFL buy or sell. We will continue to set the stage for a huge Thursday as conference tournament week rolls on, where at some of the high major leagues in their conference tournaments, looking at UACC, Big East, and Big 12, the top teams in the tournament bracket get underway in the madness as well now in the postseason. Huge second hour, DRS. Huge Thursday here on TEL.
Yeah, big Thursday all the way through. As we said, again, 11 a.m. start time here for some college basketball action, rolls all the way through to 11 o'clock at night. So you know you're going to be rolling into the early hours if you want to stay up and watch it all. Teams fighting for their lives, win or go home. Nothing better than that. What do we always say? Hey, the two best words are game seven. No, the two best words are you lose, you go home. I don't care how many words that actually ends up to be at that point, Ben. How about that?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, hey, come on now, DRS. Let's get things going here with NFL buy or sell to start off this second hour. Some intriguing questions for some of the big moves that we have seen and some that we expect to see sometime shortly around the National Football League. Of course, the quarterback carousel is continuing to spin with two big names still out there on the open market. But big names, maybe in only name and brand power alone, maybe not so much in terms of how they continue to play in the National Football League. That would be Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. Since 2022, Rodgers' final year in Green Bay, Russ, his first year in Denver, here is their overall record in the playoff appearances. Russell Wilson made one playoff appearance for the Pittsburgh Steelers this past season, but of course, things did not work out very well for the Steelers down the home stretch or in to that playoff run. So that's the stats. As you can see, a lot of expectations still on both of these quarterbacks, Donnie, but here is the buy or sell question. We won't see Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson start a playoff game ever again.
Let's buy it. Why? Name the teams that these two quarterbacks play for right now. Yeah, I'll wait. Nobody right now. So right now the advantage is in our corner. Now, having said that, where are the opportunities going to come from for Aaron Rodgers? It looks like the best opportunity is probably going to be with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Quality organization, used to being over 500, maybe just need a quarterback and a better version of themselves from what they were last year. Lightning in a bottle, Aaron Rodgers can get them to the playoffs if he's healthy and play in a playoff game. But also understand this, that's no easy ride here. You saw what Aaron Rodgers was the past 2 years. Did he have a better season last year than the year before? Yeah, he was injured. Of course he did. But also, the same problems still add up. Can't get out of the way of the pass rush here. A guy that's in the locker room that seemingly at most times is only out for himself. So again, we saw Aaron Rodgers walking around on a beach in like a Sherpa costume saying, you know what, headphones in. I don't know what I'm contemplating. Is it Jeopardy for me? Is it retirement? Is it a new football team? Neither one of these guys are on a team for reasons, Ben, right now that we know. They're not as good as they once were. So if we just look at Aaron Rodgers, he's the best chance to start a playoff game if it's with the Pittsburgh Steelers. But what happens if he winds up with the Giants? They're not going to the playoffs. What happens if he winds up, let's just say, in Minnesota to play what? Six or eight games and then let J.J. McCarthy come in behind him? Sure. I don't think that's going to happen. And Russell Wilson, if we're talking about Cleveland and the New York Giants, he has zero chance to get a team to the playoffs. You know, unless he had to be supplanted where it's like, hey, you know what? We didn't see Russ Wilson starting quarterback and now week 11, the Eagles are 10-1 and oh no, the quarterback goes down with Jalen Hurts. We just need somewhat of a veteran guy to steer that ship to get to the playoffs, and that's how he starts. Do you see how we're acting on this year? I don't think either one of these guys is going to start a playoff game in the NFL next year, and neither one of these guys, Ben, again, or even on a football team right now. Get out of town with them getting into the playoffs, either one of them.
So I would mostly agree with DRS. If I could do something like you see, like shop to pay, where you can pay in multiple payments, I'd probably pay three or four of my five necessary payments and then maybe just hold off the final one and probably cash that check in just a little bit. The only reason I would hold off slightly from being a 100% buy of this question is if Aaron Rodgers ends up in Pittsburgh. Again, I don't think it's smart for the Steelers. By no means do I think it guarantees the Steelers, based on their quarterback addition, are going to be a playoff team. But we saw Russ and Justin Fields still play quarterback for a Steelers team that made the postseason. We saw Mason Rudolph start a playoff game for Pittsburgh. Something about this Steelers organization under Mike Tomlin, with terrible quarterback play the last half decade, has still found their way into the postseason. Four of the past 5 years, the Steelers have been a playoff team. Is Aaron Rodgers the guy to lead them there again, Donnie? I'm not saying that's the case, but basically you could insert X quarterback and the Steelers are going to find their way to 9 wins and somehow, some way, contending for a wild card spot come December. That would be the only reason I hold off on a full buy of this question. By no means do I think either of these quarterbacks at this stage of their career are the reason a team gets to the playoffs. Ultimately, I do not believe Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson will end up with the Steelers, although we'll see what Pittsburgh has to do. And the potential teams out there, as DRS alluded to, in large part, either they're not going to be the starter by the end of the year, even if that team is flirting with a playoff spot, or they're just going to be the backup all along, or they're going to start all 17 games for a team that wins 5 games. However you feel about it, I'm like a 95% buy on that question. The 5% selling the notion would be if Aaron Rodgers goes to the successful franchise that is the Steelers and they find their way once again into the playoffs.
Yeah, the Steelers is the only shot here. And if Aaron Rodgers goes there, I'm saying it's a pretty good fit for those two. But also understand this. Like, we say, okay, DK Metcalf comes to town, George Pickens on one side, Freiermuth at tight end, you get Jaylen Warren, you get Kenny Gainwell in the backfield. You have the semblance of a good offense, and we always know that defense is going to come to play. Barring disastrous health issues, that probably would be a playoff team. But understand this, too. The Pittsburgh Steelers are run directly through Mike Tomlin and Mike Tomlin only. You are not getting a quarterback in there that's taught to manage the system and the situation. Aaron Rodgers is, this is my offense. Like, I'm going to audible whenever I want, and I'm going to throw the football all over the place and force it into DK Metcalf and or George Pickens, which could be something good. But every time we see an Arthur Smith offense, and also, you know, what, Canada before him, Mike Tomlin basically puts that governor and says, I'm going to throttle this offense down because we're built on running the football, not turning it over, playing good defense, and we'll see what happens in a close game in the fourth quarter. That's not what Aaron Rodgers does. He wants to win the first quarter and second quarter and third quarter by throwing the football, which is against what the Steelers do. So the explanation I'm playing out is we think it's a pretty good fit on the offense, but what's going to actually happen in game? Because Aaron Rodgers is at the type of part of his career, it's like, okay, I just want to hang on. If you need me to throw 15 times, I will. He thinks he can play and has weapons to do it. And if he's constantly handing the football off, when does that override button come from Aaron Rodgers in the middle of the football game that really gets under Mike Tomlin's skin? That's the thing I worry about in Pittsburgh with Rodgers and Tomlin.
And Donnie, he played all 17 games last year for the New York Jets. The numbers were not awful by any means, but when you compare them to the Aaron Rodgers of old, they were not the best of his 18 full years as a starting quarterback in the National Football League by any means. And still, whatever those numbers were, the results were the same. A 5-win Jets team that missed the postseason for a 14th consecutive year. More on the early lineup next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
We continue our NFL buy or sell segment early here in this offseason, but as the NFL offseason has officially picked up into the new league year as of yesterday afternoon. Donnie, we talked about the San Francisco 49ers in our opening hour. A small move yesterday, but notable. Mac Jones, 2 years, $7 million deal to provide that veteran guidance, if you will, in the 49ers quarterback room. The last two offseasons, though, for San Fran, things have been a little bit uneasy, perhaps even unstable. notable 49ers departures already this offseason. Deebo Samuel traded to the Washington Commanders. Talanoa Hufanga, one of the leaders defensively for San Fran the last 2 to 3 years, leaves as well. Dre Greenlaw signs with the Denver Broncos. Javon Hargrave makes his way elsewhere as well. Aaron Banks, one of the top interior O-linemen in the free agency market, signs a big deal in Green Bay. They also lost Charvarius Ward, Kyle Juszczyk, Elijah Mitchell, Leonard Floyd as well. A lot of notable names for this San Francisco team that have made this 49ers team the successful one we have seen the last few years. Four of the previous five NFC championship games prior to 2024 are now no longer in Northern California. So, Donnie, the buy or sell question to you. Mm-hmm. The San Francisco 49ers are not Super Bowl contenders.
I'm going to buy that right now, because if you're just asking based on the moves that were to be made and what you anticipate is going to happen, they lost a lot. Because the one thing you can always factor in, as I said before, the 49ers were so talented and they have a great head coach, maybe not in the biggest moments, but on a day-to-day basis, when you're looking to just get your team in line and calling the right plays, Kyle Shanahan is one of the best to do it out there. And he always had talent, and particularly on defense, if he needed a bailout. An unbelievable defensive line, one of the best linebacking cores in football, and an athletic and average athletic secondary that was above average in taking the football away. You look at that secondary now and you scratch your head and be like, there's some pieces there. You look at the linebacking core and say, well, Fred Warner is one of the best in the business, but no longer the core itself is elite as a whole. And the defensive line, who boasts, is a fantastic defensive end. But now you look at the rest of that defensive line, you say, ooh, he used to have good defensive tackles, other good defensive ends. That's not there. Now, the offense should still be good. They lose Deebo Samuel, but you're also now saying, okay, Brandon Ayuk, yeah, let's just snap out of it from a torn ACL and be the great wide receiver we know he can be. And Juwan Jennings, who did take a step up, is he going to be that next guy? Can he continue to excel in a position where he wasn't supposed to excel last year, but now being in the spotlight, some people perform a little bit differently in that spot. Ricky Pearsall, who had an inauspicious start to the season last year because he got shot, did play well down the stretch, but you're still asking a lot out of him. And then Brock Purdy, not even signed yet. So where does that leave everybody up in the air with some of the team leaders here? And the question comes back to, are they Super Bowl contenders? Usually you start with the division itself. If you are not the best team, at least perceived for me to be the best team, right, in your division, are you really a Super Bowl contender? Now, again, there are extenuating circumstances. Well, Donnie, you know, if you take a look at the AFC North, does that mean, like, you know, you have two teams that could be good with the, you know, let's just say the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens? Or you see, well, yeah, there are extenuating circumstances. But for me, I'm not excited about this team. We're not adding on right now. So right now, as we said, on the date of March the 13th, no, they're not a Super Bowl contender for me, Ben.
And Donnie, I think the context is important. We saw three NFC North teams get to the postseason a year ago. Just because you're not a front runner in your division doesn't mean your postseason outlook will be hampered. So I hear that point completely. But we're not talking about the 49ers as a potential wild card team, as a sneaky team that might get to double-digit wins. Certainly not based on the success that San Francisco has had under Kyle Shanahan. Again, the standard is NFC championship berth at bare minimum, four times in the previous six seasons, two Super Bowl bids in that time, coming up short against Kansas City as well. We give the Cowboys a lot of flack for not getting back to a Super Bowl, let alone an NFC championship game, since their most recent Lombardi in 1995. Who was that other superpower in the NFC 80s and 90s? San Francisco. They haven't won a Lombardi trophy since their last one in 1994. They have been there three times. I believe they have played in eight conference championship games. So the opportunity has been there, but at the end of the day, they haven't come through. And that is our question about San Francisco right now. Not going over a win total of 8.5, a Super Bowl contender. They have the sixth best price to win Super Bowl 60 this upcoming season. And Donnie, as of this morning, conference odds now available on the FanDuel Sportsbooks. Excuse me. The 49ers, third best price to win that conference crown in the NFC at plus 650, behind the short favorites in Philadelphia. 3-1 price in Detroit, sandwiched in between at plus 480. The odds makers are still infatuated with San Francisco, as they were last year, even for a struggling six-win football team, often booked as a favorite, as they certainly were in 2023, booked as a favorite in every single game. The odds makers still see San Francisco as a Super Bowl contender, but I'm selling that notion.
No, and you should be selling that notion at this point, because I'm just getting a quick look here at the offense that were expected. I was looking at George Kittle, by the way, looking for a new renegotiated contract, free agent slash. Is that what we're looking at there? I don't have it in front of me here on my notes, because I do think he's still listed as on the football team itself, but I don't know if he was looking for a new deal or a free agency. I don't think he's a free agent at this point, but let's just say George Kittle is back. George Kittle.
Yeah.
And Christian McCaffrey. We just expecting he's just going to come right back from multiple injuries and chronic tendonitis in his Achilles to be that superstar dominant running back. Are we expecting that Brock Purdy's not going to have an extended holdout here and he'll be in every OTA to make sure that he's there with his team, growing with them each and every way? Are we expecting that Brandon Ayuk, off that devastating injury, is going to come back? The question marks are too high for me. Kyle Shanahan is an unbelievable play caller. And should that offense be good next year, it's going to be fun to bet their team totals because the defense isn't as good. But when you talk about entering into a season, where they stand right now, there's way too many question marks on the 49ers to have them that high at the FanDuel Sportsbook, let's just say, to win a Super Bowl. I'm just not buying in right now to the Niners.
Kittle, by the way, signed his five-year, $75 million extension at the end of the 2020 season. So 2025 is the final year of his current deal. So, yes, the tab is coming up. And, of course, Donnie, the question is not if Brock Purdy signs that extension. It's when and how much. More around the NFL. Buy or sell in the offseason. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's the offseason around the NFL. We continue to play buy or sell live right here in our second hour of a Thursday morning on the early line. So the official league year underway as of yesterday. We saw free agency begin on this Monday. Plenty more moves will happen. Contract extensions, maybe a few under the radar signings. Of course, still have to figure out the quarterback market for Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. But a lot of that, Donnie, will be dictated by what the plans are for our next big event around the National Football League, the NFL Draft. The opening round of the NFL Draft, Thursday, April 24th, up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Here is the top five of the NFL Draft order as it is currently listed. The Titans, Browns, Giants, Patriots, Jaguars, 1-5. We have not seen any shuffling just yet. In fact, Donnie, in the modern draft era, this year making some history. Everybody, all 32 teams drafting in the opening round, every club around the NFL still has their original selection. We don't often see that in terms of the NFL draft cycle or previous trades that we have seen year over year. So, of course, when you look at the draft, Cam Ward, minus money, odds on favorite to be the first overall pick. We still expect the Titans right now as a minus 190 favorite on the Canadian FanDuel Sportsbook to be the team making that first overall selection to do just that. But the question then becomes, what happens to Shedeur Sanders? Buy or sell to you, DRS. Shedeur Sanders will be a top five pick in the 2025 NFL Draft.
Yeah, maybe we'll get some movement here where a team makes a trade. Just a few short years ago, that deal for Bryce Young to head toward Carolina, basically where that number one overall pick was with the Chicago Bears, took place as myself, Kevin Walsh, and former producer Brian Rutkowski were at Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City to see Iona play as that information came down. The reason I bring that up is because that could shake up a few things. But if we're just being simple at this time, it looks like there's two quarterbacks in this draft that, let's just say, have a first-round grade. Regardless of some of the smoke that you hear or some nonsense GMs that are saying, I don't think Shedeur is a first-round pick only because they want to pick him at five because they think somebody will take him sooner than that. Let's get that out of the way. Look at the first three teams. The Tennessee Titans. Why are they number one overall? Their quarterback situation is putrid. Therefore, they probably, without trading out, should take a quarterback. Number two, it's the Cleveland Browns. They are a disaster at quarterback with an aging veteran, multi-injured guy with a guaranteed contract that's up in, what, 1 or 2 years at this point with dead cap money. They need a quarterback. Number three, it's the New York Giants. What do they need? It's a quarterback. So just simple diagnosis here, which could have thrown it off a little bit, let's just say, if the New England Patriots were in the top three. Ooh, they don't need a quarterback. Will they trade back? But if they trade back, that means somebody's coming up for a quarterback. I'm just playing the odds right here. Top three teams all need quarterbacks. Two legitimate prospects when quarterbacks, as we know, Ben, always get overdrafted. I'm going to say that Shedeur Sanders is a top five NFL pick, and I'm going to buy that.
DRS, if you would have asked me at the end of the college football season, the end of the NFL season, about a month or month and a half ago, I would have said absolutely. I'll buy it right now, and I don't think you're getting it at a discount. I think if the odds came out for Shedeur Sanders to be a top five pick, that is a draft market we have each and every year. Minus 500, minus 750. Heavily juiced price, even if Cam Ward is the guy to go first overall. Because at the end of these football campaigns, it seemed rather crystal clear that we had multiple teams in the top five that needed to draft a quarterback in desperate necessity, trying to find the answer at the quarterback spot of the future face of the franchise. And really, one and two in what seemed to be a two-quarterback draft class in the opening round. The Titans and the Browns. Tennessee likes Cam Ward more. Fine. He goes first. Shedeur Sanders, really good as well. He goes second. And yet there is this narrative change around Sanders for whatever reason. I think a lot of it has to do with his play in Colorado system. Is it more pass happy? I still think Shedeur Sanders is worthy of a top five pick, knowing the teams that need to draft a quarterback. I'm becoming a little bit more skeptical, though, DRS, that he will, in fact, be a top five pick. I'm going to buy it right now, but if I thought that price 3 weeks ago was minus 500, now I think it's probably minus 155.
And I'll understand this, too. The NFL is a business. Shedeur Sanders is very good for business right off the bat. You will be a lightning franchise. And also at the same time, the thoughts will continue to come up. Does his dad follow him, become his head coach if things don't work out in his rookie season? You know that's going to happen here. He is a talent. He should be drafted as such. And I'm looking for, by the way, pro day is coming up. Nobody's ever had a bad pro day. So people are going to get back on board with Shedeur when he throws 7 yard slants. Get ready for it.
I'm sure that's a great point, right? Build the narrative once again. College basketball now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Of our 30-plus conferences around D1 men's college basketball, we only have two that have yet to start their conference tournament. One of that changes today. The Mid-American Conference, the MAC, enters conference tournament week as well on this Thursday. The Ivy League, only a four-team tournament. They will play quickly over the weekend as well. And DRS in the Mid-American Conference, in the true MAC, in my estimation, not the MAC, in Atlantic City, the top team is Akron. John Gross and his Zips have been sensational. They were a tournament team a year ago at a plus 145 price. Akron booked as the favorite to win the MAC tournament title.
You know what? You look at their schedule, too. They lose opening night in overtime to Arkansas State, quality program. They lose to St. Mary's. No shame in their game. Milwaukee, that's a tough one up for debate. Yale, good team out of the Ivy League. And then Princeton. After that, it's a shame they lost to Ohio on February 22nd, Ben, because they'll be coming into this tournament as the hottest team in the country with the longest win streak out here. And it's a fun team to bet because they're really fast and their tempo adjusted is number one in conference play. But you know what's interesting about them? They play unbelievably good offense and defense here, not over-reliant on the three-point shot. They'll defend the three-point shot. They'll defend inside the arc. But how about this? In conference play, 60% from the field inside the arc. That means if you're playing with tempo, that's so many easy baskets, which what they're doing is getting out running, getting the easy buckets, and not being over-reliant, as I said, on the three-point shot. It's a fun basketball team, and by far the best team in this tournament, as you see the price point at a plus 145. Now, granted, you're playing on a neutral court, like versus like competition. You could lose game, but for the fact that they only lost one conference game this season and they got blasted on the road against Ohio, maybe that's their biggest competitor where they sit at a plus 650 price, talking about the Bobcats in conference play. But I'm not betting against Akron. I think they're the best team through and through in the MAC.
And Donnie, when you look at the numbers, really, there's a lot to like about what the Zips do. As you highlighted, they play at such a fast pace. They move the ball incredibly well. They take a ton of threes. It is a fun brand of basketball under John Gross this year. They played 18 MAC games. They won 17. They have won 18 of their last 19 to highlight Donnie's point since a 7-5 start earlier in the year. They are a 25-win team. And when you look at every game they played in MAC competition this year, they were booked as a favorite except for one. That was a win against Kent State, who will enter with the second best price around the Mid-American Conference. And frankly, Donnie, when you look at the standings in the MAC, Akron 17-1. Kent State, that second best number. But it's actually Miami of Ohio with the second most conference win this year, 14-4. The record for the Red Hawks. They get underway today as well. 12 teams overall in the MAC, only 8 on your screen. Bottom 4 in the conference standings miss out on the conference tournament in Cleveland this week.
Yes, and that's just the way it's going to be at this point. By the way, the team that's leaving the MAC, and I guess they probably should be just saying they're kicking them out, is NIU, which usually is a pretty good basketball team in that conference. What, 2 wins on the season? But if we are lining up the favorites here, of course, it's going to be Akron, as we talked about. If you're handicapping the game, that's going to take place today. When does that start? 11 a.m. So again, this is the first one right off the bat, which if you're watching the show right now live, an hour and a half from now, you have live college basketball. And it's not just a, hey, send this team out here. That's a really good mid-major team. As you focus on, you take a look at some of the styles that make fights here. You have to like this too, because Akron on offense, their efficiency in conference play is 118.5, which is tremendous. But understand this, they don't really get to the free throw line, which means they're getting easy buckets in transition. But number two, they're fantastic inside the arc. But understand this, third most three-point shots in the conference, but they make them third most in the conference. It's really a good matchup, particularly in Bowling Green's defense. We'll let you shoot as many three-point shots as you want in this environment. This should be a walkover win right out of the gate, but also, these teams aren't used to playing at 11 a.m. in the morning on a neutral court, so sometimes it is buyer beware, but usually the better team, the more efficient team, is going to win out.
A 12.5 point spread in favor of Akron against Bowling Green. Total 148.5. Again, Akron at a very up-tempo pace. They like to score. They like to display it on offense. Keep an eye on that total. Bowling Green is the 8th seed in this conference tournament. And then, DRS, when you think about what Akron has done, I mentioned it, 17-1 in conference play straight up, 17 of 18 games as a favorite, 7-10 against the spread, because they often saw these hefty numbers. So just keep that in mind when you are betting the MAC tournament day by day. Elsewhere around conference tournament week, so much to break down. And Donnie, when you think about some of the best teams that we are going to see today at the high major level, the one seeds will be out there as well in the ACC, Big 12, and Big East. You talked about it at the very beginning of this show. These are the days that you love in college basketball. The opening round at the high major level, that's already through. Some of the best teams in these conferences, even if they're not a one seed, that they earn the bye through the opening round, they will be on display. These are the games that matter. These are the games that are significant, even as we saw on full display yesterday. These games are never meaningless. They have implications for teams trying to get into the NCAA tournament. Don't believe me? Ask Ohio State. Don't believe me? Ask Georgia. Don't believe me? Ask Vanderbilt. And now the long wait, because you have left the committee in charge and your own fate out of your hands. These are the great days in college hoops, and it starts in under an hour and a half.
Yeah, can you imagine if it was just like an exhibition, Ben, at the end of the season? It's like, yeah, well, Duke won the regular season, so the ACC championship has no bearing if you win it or not. Like, no, you show up, and as long as you're playing, you understand that if we keep winning, even though we have a great regular season, we can punch a ticket into the dance. And there's a lot of pride from the opposite direction. Do you think Duke was like, fantastic job, you know, done, we won the ACC regular season, and it's no big deal if we meet up with North Carolina and they bounce us here because we're already in the tournament and good for North Carolina because they can win and we can see them in March Madness? Like, no, there's a lot of pride here. You want the sweep. You won the regular season. You want to win the conference championship. And then you want to go in the March Madness and win another one here, hanging banners left and right. So more than that, where it's like, okay, the end of the rainbow and the pot of gold is the championship, you have pride on the line. You want to continue to win. You want to cement your legacy. see. And also for some of those bubble teams, every single win matters, where it's like, oh, we're in the, have we seen that before? Like, oh, we're in the tournament. And 2 days later, like, oh no, everything just went against us. All these bubble teams continue to win and knock out automatic bids. Now we're in peril. Don't leave it up to chance for a selection Sunday committee to tell you if you're good or not. If you keep winning, everything takes care of itself, you guys.
There's a great chance that Ohio State now is going to miss the NCAA tournament. So teams that maybe were on the wrong side of the bubble, a spot has opened up. Looking at you, North Carolina, continuing to handle business against the teams they are expected to beat. Closing as a 10.5-point favorite yesterday against Notre Dame. Carolina wins by 20, dominant fashion. They get Wake Forest today. UNC, 5.5-point favorite. Another game they need to win to potentially set up a semifinal matchup on Friday against who? That would be the Duke Blue Devils. Another quad one opportunity in Charlotte for UNC. Even, Donnie, if you're not a team like North Carolina or the others we have mentioned, trying to earn a spot into the big dance, there is an idea of March momentum. We saw some of that magic with Delaware. We saw some of that magic with St. Francis PA, a sub-500 team now into the big dance. And we have seen, even at the high major level, teams get hot at the perfect time, play their best ball. Paying attention to what's happened in the Big 12, right? Colorado, a 3-17 team in the conference of the regular season. Two consecutive wins for Tad Boyle and the Buffs. Outright against TCU on Tuesday. Outright against West Virginia yesterday as well. Now they take on Houston today as a 16.5-point dog. So more than likely, that not going to go their way. But a lot of stakes for everybody involved in conference tournament week.
No doubt about it. You see that Iowa State and BYU, a fantastic game. And also, it's just being a college basketball fan and a sports fan at this time right now, as we told you. Like, yes, this week is great, but I'm telling you, today just might be the best day. Everybody involved, some teams that are bad get hot playing higher seeds. That's fun basketball. It is.
We'll talk about it with our coach, James Young, up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Our coach, J.Y. James Young, is here for a second consecutive day. I mean, it is this time of March where we need him each and every day here on the early line. We'll talk about the NBA, the statement win for OKC last night in Boston, and then we'll move on to today's docket, which should be a great one. 48 D1 men's college basketball games during conference tournament week. First, J.Y., as always, thanks for your time. We appreciate it.
It's good to be here. I know a lot of college basketball, but a really big game and maybe a statement game last night in the association.
I think it's fair to call it that, a statement victory for the Thunder. Last night on the road inside TD Garden, OKC wins outright as a 2.5-point dog, 118-112, 34-point performance for the MVP frontrunner in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Again, J.Y., I think it's very fair to call this game a statement. How did OKC pull it off?
Well, simply put, they're two superstars. We know what SJA is. We talked about it. He's the MVP. But the play of Chet Holmgren with 23-15 last night was fantastic. Did no Jalen Williams. And how about Mark Dagnall? Like, the curveball he threw, bringing Isaiah Hartenstein off the bench last night, which is something that threw me for a loop. But he's showing why he's one of the best coaches in the association. When you look at the game, you have seven players of OKC in double figures. And I think that speaks to how dangerous this team is when not only you get 4 out of 5 starters in double figures. I know Aaron Wiggins struggled, but to get Williams, Hartenstein, and Isaiah Joe each to give you 10, 11, 11. Ben, I thought that was the key thing. The fact that the Thunder, although they were great up top, they got contributions down the lineup to help them get the win.
And we know it's professional sports, Coach. There's no moral victories. And again, Oklahoma City didn't lose that game. But talk to me about this, because we used to talk about this, like, you know, kids in college getting a big road win and how that could galvanize them. Talk about how big of a game this was for OK City to say, you know what? We've been a great team all season long. You just might not have realized it, but a win, and also not an easy win last night, a tied game in Boston going into the fourth quarter, and you handled your business and won. Talk about this, what this means for OKC moving forward.
for a young team, it means everything. You know, when you get some of these, people don't understand, like, moral victories do count, right, for some teams that are trying to take the next step. And there's been a lot of interesting points, especially coming from that four-letter network, talking about the disrespect that OKC is seeing. Basically, teams saying, well, we'll go to that side of the bracket. We'll go play them. Well, how about going into Boston and winning the game? And not only that, the fact that you were tied at the end of three, you outperformed 30-24, the defending NBA champions on their home floor, that speaks volumes for a team and a team that's galvanizing confidence as it continues to shorten that window to win the NBA championship as they won the season series 2-0.
Yes, they certainly did. They took the first one back in early January in Oklahoma City, winning on the road last night against Boston. To Donnie's point, right, regular season success is great, and you need to have those opportunities to prove it. For OKC, it will be about the postseason. But, JY, when you look at the Thunder right now, clinching a playoff berth last night, a 12-game advantage for the top seed in the Western Conference, a minus 145 favorite to win the Western Conference crown, the Thunder in a great position. And, as we predicted, this remains a finals preview. Boston was the short favorite entering last night's game at plus 180. OKC, a 2-1 price. Now the exact same number, JY. Co-favorites to win that Larry O'Brien trophy at the end of this season. Plus 185. Ultimately, at the end of the day, after March is done, through April and May, in early June, will it be the Celtics and the Thunder in the NBA Finals?
It's hard to say that it won't happen, but there was a game a couple of nights ago where a team put up 140 points and may have the runner-up to the MVP award in Nikola Jokic. That's going to have to say a lot about it, even though they just got smoked by Minnesota last night. So to me, it's going to come down to, can you handle the pressure? Can you handle it being in that spot for the first time? Can you handle slaying the dragon? That is what Oklahoma City is going to have to do. But listen, man, they got the offensive firepower. They may have one of the best, maybe not the best player in the world. I think it's Nikola Jokic. They have the MVP right now. They're playing great basketball, and their schedule is light. 22nd hardest the rest of the way. What's curious, what I want to see, Ben, is does Mark Daigneault start to pull back a little bit? Or with two games in the loss column behind Cleveland, do they keep pushing, Ben, to see if you get a trip up by Cleveland and try to secure the overall number one seed in the entire league?
You take a look at that big three, Coach: Celtics, Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. The team I want to focus on right now, and a lot of people will, is the Los Angeles Lakers at a 16-1 price. Not that can they be title contenders. What do they do down the stretch here? Because we understand, if you're not healthy for the playoffs, you don't have a chance at victory. What's the LeBron schedule going to look like as we play out the regular season for them?
They got to make sure they get them to the finish line. But Donnie, like, here's the crazy thing about the Lakers. Like, you got to be careful, right? They are one game ahead of the loss column of both Memphis and Denver. They are two ahead of Houston, and they got a little bit of wiggle room, five ahead of Golden State. So to me, what is the most important thing, right? You want to play well. You want to crank up LeBron down the stretch. But to me, I still think they want to be in that top five line. Now, here's the thing. Even though I think it could be Oklahoma City going to the finals, I think Nikola Jokic is going to pose major problems for this team. I am throwing out that seven-shot performance a couple of Saturday nights. That Mike Malone punts on games, and he punted on that game as Kevin Walsh and I watched live. If I'm the Lakers, I don't want to go below five, and I want to stay away from Denver because I think Nikola Jokic is a horrific matchup for Alex Len and Jackson Hayes. Get out of here. Mm.
And the Nuggets have, as of late, had the Lakers' number in playoff battles. JY, a lot will be decided. Playoff positioning, where you are in the seed line, all very important. One huge distinction between Boston and OKC, our NBA championship co-favorites, the Thunder are going to have home floor advantage throughout the entirety of the Western Conference playoffs. The Celtics do not. And more than likely, if that is our NBA Finals matchup, OKC would have the home court advantage. Boston would not. Oh, we're talking seed lines in March? Conference tournament week next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a time during conference tournament week in three of our five high major conferences around men's college basketball. The one seeds, the top seeds, into the fold today. That's the ACC, the Big 12, and in the Big East tournament. JY here for a second consecutive segment, and we will go as fast as possible to hit on at least a few games from every high major conference tournament that we have. JY, let's start in the ACC. The one seed Duke, a 22.5-point favorite against Georgia Tech. Louisville takes on Stanford. Clemson against an SMU team desperate for a quad one victory. And of course, North Carolina still trying to hunt down a spot in the big dance. Of those four games in the quarterfinal round in Charlotte, JY, which one has the most stakes?
It's UNC. Because if you look at a UNC team is 5-1 against spread the last six games. And let's be honest, Ben, they looked really, really good the first half Saturday night versus Duke. They looked really good. And then, I guess it struck midnight. So for me, that's the biggest game. They have to leave a lasting impression. They don't have the quad one wins. They got to win. They got to win impressively. And then they got to slay the dragon tomorrow, which is going to be even more difficult. But they can't get to tomorrow unless they win today and win impressively. North Carolina minus points. Also, really quick, Duke, team total 82.5. I think they're going to push their pedal to the metal because they know who they got tomorrow as well.
Good stuff also. How about the Big 12 out there today? Outside of Colorado, somewhat of a surprise maybe taking on Houston. Not that great of a game, but Baylor, Texas Tech, Kansas, Arizona, and Iowa State and BYU. What a contrast there. And you take a look at the spreads, -5.5, -1.5, +3.5. Fantastic stuff in the Big 12, Coach. What game is it for you today?
To me, it's Kansas. This team has been up and down all season, and we don't know which team we're going to get. So to me, it's Kansas. But also look at Iowa State. I think John Ross team reported there are two injuries. The guy, I think Gilbert's one of them. Another player, I forget who it is. Both are game time decisions for today. That is going to move the market a lot if those two don't suit up. Two of the top three scores, if I'm not mistaken, today for Iowa State may not play.
Two of the best guards in the Big 12, Keyshawn Gilbert, been dealing with injuries all tail end of the season. Did leave for some time yesterday in the Cyclones' big win against Cincinnati. Taman Lipsey, their point guard, the other guy who is questionable with some injury news. For an Iowa State team, Coach, we're just hoping to get healthy for a big run in the big dance. BYU has won eight straight, by the way, to end out the regular season. Big East quarterfinal Thursday inside the world's most famous arena. And enter Rick Pitino and the Red Storm. St. John's double-digit favorite against Butler. Creighton, two seed in the conference against a DePaul team that knocked off Georgetown once again last night. Marquette and Xavier, huge game for the Musketeers and their NCAA tourney hopes. But JY, UConn and Villanova, anytime they meet up in Madison Square Garden, it is always a marquee matchup. What do you expect out of that tilt tonight inside MSG?
Fireworks. And if Villanova would have closed out this game up in Hartford a couple of weeks ago, we wouldn't be talking about it because maybe Villanova would be in. They need to win. So that is a huge game for Villanova. That's why I like them plus the points. Marquette's got to get going. Xavier needs to win to hold their tournament hopes alive, especially if you have a case of Villanova winning and them losing. St. John's, look at Edgeford today. Over 8.5 rebounds of plus money. You have a dynamic offensive rebounding team in St. John's against a poor defensive rebounding team in Butler. That should be a lot of fun today at the Garden.
Let's go over to the Big Ten, which most people affectionately call the Boring Ten, because I don't see a game on this card that I enjoy. Coach, do you enjoy any of these games in the Big Ten today?
I mean,
this guy. What was up with this guy?
You know what he's doing.
Come on now. You know, shout out to my hometown, Rutgers Scarlet Knights, for just going down in flames last night. But Ben and I have been talking about it. We got a ticket. It's the Purdue Boilermakers, and they got a favorable matchup against the Must-Bus in the 6-14 game. I do also like Illinois minus a point. Last time they played Iowa, won by 20. They've looked markedly better, Ben, since that three-game losing streak they had a couple of weeks ago.
A lot of points probably in both of those games, Purdue, USC, Illinois, and Iowa. The pace will be up there. Oregon and Indiana, IU firmly in the NCAA tournament. One more statement win would certainly help Mike Woodson and company. Finally, JY, 30 seconds left. SEC tournament into round number two. What's the best game on the slate?
It's Texas versus Texas A&M. If Texas gets a win, they're in the NCAA tournament. They need this game today.
The Lone Star Showdown now back in basketball. Texas, a huge victory over Vandy, trying to play their way into the big dance. The beauty of conference tournament week. JY, a fade to the break, a fadeaway to hour number three, which comes away next.